Good morning. I know it's early. You can do it. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's a Monday. We're going to make it great. 608 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Get the popcorn ready. Debate tomorrow night. Woo. Is Kamala going to be ready?
Mm.
You know, that's the thing about being an underdog. All she has to do is string a sentence or two together, make a little bit of sense, lie through her stinking teeth because people won't accept her real policies.
Wait, Bob. You say all she has to do is string a couple of sentences together?
Yeah.
Why, she's in trouble.
Well, she could be, but you know how it goes when people, yeah, they've lowered the bar so low.
That's true.
The expectations are so low.
Yes.
That all she has to do is
show up.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So we'll dig into that a little bit coming up. Also, football over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks were winners, 37-20. Miami over the Jags. Heartbreaker for the Jags. They had a lead and kind of fell apart a little bit. But if you're a Miami fan, you're happy. 20-17. And what was one of the other games? Overtime last night, because I didn't see the end of it, and maybe you didn't either if you're up this early. But the Lions won in overtime, 26-20 over the Rams. So
I am going to have to bring in Patrick Johnson, our news guy, and give him a thorough slashing.
What did he do?
Lashing. No, that's what he didn't do. If you caught his first report for the morning, and I heard him say, "I'm Patrick Johnson, your top local story," and it mentioned nothing about you being a grandpa.
Well, my.
That's our top local story, right?
Yeah, it was just a wonderful feeling to hold my first grandchild in my arms at Tampa General Hospital yesterday morning as my daughter gave birth to a wonderful, beautiful 8-pound baby boy.
Oh, okay.
Thomas Jonas, and very, very proud and happy and just feeling
nice.
Blessed. It's a wonderful moment, and to hold that baby is so precious. You're nervous on one hand, but
yeah.
You know, it's just
is it different?
Feeling.
I mean, you got three kids. Is it different being a grandchild than a child? I mean, it's a long way to remember, but you know, 30 whatever years back. But is there anything that struck you differently about it? Now, I'm putting you on the spot, totally live. I know.
I think there's not the unknown. You kind of know what's going to happen because you've been through it before.
Sure, right.
You know, the parent thing is new when you're a new parent.
Yes.
To be a grandparent is like, that's kind of why you're there. It's like, look, everything works out okay when they have their ups and downs. You can go, look, it all smooths out. We had, you know, you weren't perfect sometimes.
Well, and I guess what you don't have is the, this is my new child, and oh no, there's not an owner's manual, and we're going home tomorrow.
That's exactly.
And we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Versus
exactly
a grandchild, you get to always give him back.
But his parents are both doctors,
right?
So you know, and my daughter's a PA, so there's no lack of smarts or understanding or paying attention.
Right.
I learned something new when she was pushing the baby out,
mm-hmm.
and it gets to a point, and they say, go ahead and take it. For her to take it. And she pulls little Thomas up, like kind of on her belly, and she can't pull any further because the umbilical cord.
Right.
Well, then Dustin, her husband, cuts the umbilical cord.
Right.
But she kind of rests with the baby there for a while, and they call it the golden hour, where there's a bonding that takes place.
Yeah.
And they've measured it, and she knew the background, my daughter did, of how that works. And it is both good for the baby and the mother. And the mother, it actually does something hormonally.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Gets them into that next stage, I guess, get ready for breastfeeding and all that. And
wow, learn something new every day, don't you?
But I can tell you this, for those that haven't been to Tampa General, ain't no bad guys getting in there.
Oh, really?
It's kind of like Fort Knox. It really is. No, you go through metal detector.
Yeah.
You give your driver's license, and you're given a sticker. And then when you get up to where the babies are, you go through a process again and get a different sticker. So they...
No stealing, no babies around here.
No.
Mm-mm.
No. If you want top-notch security, they definitely have it there, which kind of makes you wonder, like, why did it...
Yeah.
Makes you a little like, why would they need so, a lot of security?
Yeah. It's Tampa. Well, anyway, never
better to be safe than sorry. Oh, it's so big. I used to actually part-time park cars across the street on Davis Island for people that some were going to Tampa General. Most were going to a doctor's office right there. And it's just amazing to see the kind of growth that that facility has undergone. Amazing.
Well, congrats.
Well, thank you.
To all involved.
Appreciate it. And the response from people when I posted pictures has just been unbelievable. With the common theme, those who have experienced it are like, being a grandparent, you're absolutely going to love it. I mean, it's all totally positive. So, yeah, looking forward to, obviously, more experiences and spending time.
That's code for more days off.
Not necessarily.
I gotta take a few days.
Look, I told my daughter, go. You gotta escort this kid out on the weekend, otherwise Greg will be upset if I'm not there. So there's a lot of pressure on her. She was thinking about you.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Yeah.
Now this story is going to be one of those ones that sort of comes and goes in a way, and what I mean by that is it's Congressman Mike McCaul out of Texas, Republican, and. He put out, well, he's part of a group, you know, the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He chairs it. And they're releasing a full report on the Afghanistan withdrawal. And that'll come out later on today. The culmination of 3 years of investigations by the committee's Republicans. The report, which has been shared with some interested parties and which the Texas Tribune and other outlets obtained ahead of its release, it accuses the Biden administration of ignoring warnings from its own staffers, from its own intel, and from its own allies, leaving American interest vulnerable to the Taliban takeover. The quote, the evidence proves President Biden's decision to withdraw all U.S. troops was not based on the security situation, the Doha agreement, or the advice of his senior national security advisors or our allies. Rather, it was premised on his longstanding and unyielding opinion that the United States should no longer be in Afghanistan. Well, that's fine that you don't want to be there. But it's very important the way in which you leave. That's when the military and others are going to be at their very most vulnerable point. The U.S. military pulled out of Afghanistan in August of 21 after 20 years in country. The Afghan government collapsed shortly after. Well, they were actually collapsing almost simultaneously, really, leading to a takeover by the Taliban, which, of course, rules the country to this day. The withdrawal has been criticized by members of both parties for its rapid deterioration, which left military and diplomatic personnel unprepared and has emerged as one of the biggest stains on Biden's foreign policy record. But already it's like the Dems have responded and already, so it's going to sort of get washed over, if you will. I mean, the full report isn't really out and released to the public. But the Dems, the House Democrats on the Foreign Affairs Committee, released their own memo.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a failure. You cannot deny it. And some of the reasons behind it are obvious. And, you know, thanks to McCaul and other Republicans, hopefully this people will have an understanding of the difference in policies between what's happening now and what the predecessor was able to do, and et cetera. 'Tis the season. Yep, the political season. It is 6:16. Don't forget, wherever you get your podcast, look for the Bob Rose Show. You'll never miss a minute. Just hit the button, subscribe. There's no fee, but that way you will have it wherever you normally get your podcast. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. We're making Mondays great. It's the Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy. 621 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. One of your top stories, big debate tomorrow night. Yes.
Finally.
The bar is low for Kamala. So all she has to do is, basically show up and she'll have certain advantages. And some advice by John Cornyn given to Trump. Let her talk. Just let her go. Let her talk.
Oh.
And she'll talk herself into circles and salads and all kinds of stuff, right? Update on the Georgia shooting. Some newer information, at least for some of us. A report from the Washington Post, confirmed by the AP, claims the alleged Appalachian High School attacker's mother warned the school of an extreme emergency, and it was about 30 minutes before shots rang out.
Wow.
The AP reported the 14-year-old attacker's aunt, Annie Brown, said the boy's mom spoke with a school counselor and urged them to immediately find her son to check him out. The Tennessee Star noted that the Post zeroed in on text messages that show that the school and family were in contact about the mental health of the 14-year-old. A week before the shooting, Brown had allegedly informed a relative that the alleged attacker was having homicidal and suicidal thoughts.
Okay.
On September 5th, the day after the attack, the 14-year-old father, Colin Gray, was arrested and charged with involuntary manslaughter, second-degree murder, among other things. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation explained the charges stem from him knowingly allowing his son to possess a weapon. Also, especially since law enforcement has spoke to him about his son, about a year previous?
So you've got that. So then you give the child, we'll call him a child, he is a kid, a gun. But then a week before, he's having homicidal, suicidal thoughts. Maybe that's the time you take the kid's gun and you put it somewhere he can't get
it. You secure it.
Just a thought.
Yeah, until he gets through this whatever difficult period. I mean,
right. Because now he won't.
And it sounds like, he's had his issues, quote unquote, for some time. And dysfunctional family on top of all of that.
Yeah, sad.
Yes.
All around.
It is sad on a lot of different levels. But apparently the mom tried to warn the school. Not a lot of time there. But, what can we do? And even the kid, it turns out, was kind of begging for help. So can we put a new protocol in there? Can we call it, code red or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Could you do it like a fire drill? Or do you think these, people concerned about their kids, this would happen all the time. Like, I don't know, he wasn't thinking straight this morning.
Right.
In other words, would it be overly used and abused, or would this save some lives to go, hey, man, this is a code red. It's like a fire drill. Boom, we pull the thing. All the kids exit immediately.
And wouldn't it be nice if the politicians, especially those in the left, instead of immediately jumping to, we got to get rid of these military-style weapons off the street, we go to, what can we do when a kid reaches out to help and it doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything? How about we fix that first?
And this is not the first time this kind of thing came up, and it's mental health. And, of course, it doesn't help the left politically maybe to go down that path, although it should, because I don't care which party comes up with some answers and things that are going to maybe help the situation. It's so much easier politically, and it fulfills really an entirely different agenda for them to try to disarm law-abiding American citizens, which they continue to try to do. Yeah.
That answers the question, why don't they come up with something? It's because then it would take that away.
The man suspected of injuring five people when he opened fire on Interstate 75. This was in the Kentucky area. As far as I know, none of my news sources have reported his capture.
Right.
So he is still on the loose. And they warned the community in the area to stay vigilant. This is it was the Laurel County Sheriff's Office has identified even the shooter, but they still haven't gotten him yet. Joseph A. Couch, 32, as a suspect who have fired into 12 cars on the north and southbound lanes of the interstate on Saturday. Authorities said Sunday night they believe Couch is still in the remote, densely wooded areas near where his AR-15 ammunition, car, and possibly his phone were found. Wow.
Now, that's odd that he would leave his phone behind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
if he's just on the run, unless he doesn't want to be tracked. If he's sharp in that respect, going, okay, if you know, they can ping my phone, so I don't want to do that. Or is he going to do something so that he doesn't need a phone anymore? There's always that
option. That's, yes, of course. That's always one of the thoughts. Just hours before the shooting, he legally purchased a firearm and about 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Okay. The shooting occurred around 5:30 Saturday, about 9 miles north of the city of London, Kentucky. It appeared to be a random act of violence. Just randomly shooting at cars going in either direction. Thankfully, there were no fatalities, but some of the injuries were very severe. One victim was shot in the face and another across the chest. Victims were critically hurt, but are in stable condition.
That's the good news.
And hopefully we'll get an update soon where they'll tell us they have him either in custody or he's not alive.
Yeah.
We're approaching 6:28. You're listening to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. You know, we do our best to try to make Mondays great. More local, state, and big stories coming your way on 97.3 The Sky. Dick and Liz turn their back on Republican and conservative principles, obviously.
Yeah.
Talking about the Cheneys. What about the Bushes? Stab the Bushes!
Yeah.
I will, I'll give you some information related to that in moments. It is 6:37. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a Monday, but we're going to make it great. The big debate is tomorrow night. And in case you missed the end of the game last night, the Lions won in overtime 26-20 versus the Rams. Bucks beat Washington 37-20. Great job looking there. Baker Mayfield looking real good. In state, you had to have a losing Florida team in this one, and it happened to be the Jags. Miami beat the Jags 20-17. Jags had a pretty good lead, too. But that's the way it goes. Oh, and speaking of football, Tom Brady made his debut. And I was watching / listening to that game. It was the Cowboys. And, you know, it wasn't the most exciting of games, but, you know, still okay. And it's certainly not his fault whether or not the game is super exciting. But here's the deal. I just the negative nannies that have to come out. I mean, it's his first time calling a game, and it's the NFL, and it's nationwide. And look, you know Tom Brady is going to be able to offer some really good insights.
Sure.
I mean, the guy played the game, played it well, and played it for a long time. So he's got, I'm sure, plenty to offer. Is he going to be super smooth? Look, I was paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a fine job. Was he perfect? Was he flawless? Did he sound like he had been doing this for 10 years? No.
Well, you wouldn't.
No, nobody would.
It's new.
What's wrong with people? And part of it is how much money is being paid. For whatever reason, that's a sticks in some people's craw.
Yeah.
And it is ridiculous money. Fox signed Brady to a 10-year deal worth $375 million more than 2 years ago. I mean, that was all set up. And the sports world has been waiting with bated breath to see how he'd perform in the booth. The game wound up being a dud as the Cowboys won 33-17 in a contest that was effectively over at halftime. All right. Again, he can't control that. Fox in particular places an emphasis on this for NFL analysis with color commentators, including John Madden and Troy Aikman. And then you've got studio talents like Terry Bradshaw, Jimmy Johnson, Howie Long, Rob Gronkowski, Michael Strahan. Fox, I think, does really a very good job with their coverage. And Brady did fine. He's articulate. He's not going to be super polished in that role.
Well, let's take somebody who's being critical and just drop them into something that, okay, you know about it in your head because you've done it, but we're gonna have you have to describe it and give color and follow along, and you're paying attention to, you know, cameras and microphones and people and the game. It just drop you into something you've not done before very much.
Right, and I think part of it is, maybe some of it is coming from the corners of, well, I paid my dues, I worked my way up kind of thing.
Yeah, I get
Brady
that.
Throws a football, and all of a sudden, he's the greatest gift now in sports commentating.
But he's going to have an angle that you don't. I think you need both.
Yeah.
Those who know it can talk about it, and those who've done it.
Look, if he could put a sentence together, then you'd say, well, that was ridiculous.
We know jocks like that. They can't carry on a conversation hardly.
But they're not generally offered these huge long-term contracts. They already knew Brady could do it. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's, look, there's always, and I guess this transitions into, there is so much negativity in the world. Like, it seems so often now when people comment on anything.
Yeah.
It's like the naysayers come out. The negativity comes out. It's like, wow, are you that miserable? And do you, and really, it, the condition of your life is such that you really care who's announcing the game. And don't get me wrong, the announcers can make a difference.
Sure.
When you have a couple of announcers on a game that's maybe not the highest profile to begin with, mm-hmm. and they just don't sound that, I don't know, they're just not, it's not hitting your
the
ear
spark
just
isn't
right.
There. Yeah. Yep.
And so it can make a difference, but in the grand scheme of things, really?
Yeah.
To actually complain about it? Wow. I mean, good for you. You obviously have no other problems in your life at mm-hmm. all, or issues or fears or anything else. Davis Gainesville, Chevrolet Skylines, and Shep, good morning.
That says Howard Cosell speaking of sport. I want to tell you that I am the legend, and no one can live up to my legacy. But they can give it a good try. Anyway, hi, guys.
Hey, good to hear from... Oh, was he going to go on?
Yeah, he actually had a comment that was not sports-related.
Shep, you still there? Go ahead.
I'm still here. Did you hear what I said already or no?
Yeah, the Howard Cosell, yes.
Yeah, I thought I did a pretty good. Listen, I just wanted to get on about, you know, what's been going on with tomorrow night and all that. And I posted something on Facebook. I just want to let the 13 liberals who monitor this program know that we don't need politicians who want to institute a new world order. George W. Bush. H.W. Bush, sorry. We don't need politicians who say, don't worry about what the peasants think. Mr. Cheney, we don't need politicians who bend the knee when confronted with a dictator, Neville Chamberlain. Now, a lot of people want to say that Trump is not presidential. Good. We have had enough of presidents who are presidential. We need someone who goes right up to our enemies and say, this is how it's going to be. Okay? We are setting the tone, not you. This is what we need, and they have the political and the military will to back it up. That's all I'm going to say. You want presidential? Fine. But, you know, put someone in based on identity politics. You're going to get presidential. You want someone who's going to preserve the United States of America? And I know a lot of you don't. because one man told me he hates the United States and wants to see it dissolved. But you want to save the United States, you vote for Donald Trump. Yes, he's a bull in a china shop.
Yeah, and that is exactly what the world calls for.
So do you want a bull in a china shop or a lot of
bull?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Caving into China.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, hey, Tim Walz, he'll replace Brandon as the Chinese favorite person in the in D.C.
He'd be a better fit to be, you know, like a cheerleading captain.
I could see him with his shaking his pom-poms.
Former President George W. Bush does not plan to reveal whom he will vote for in the upcoming election. Details on that and a whole lot more coming your way as we make Mondays great. Come on. Grab it by the horns. It is 6:45 News Talk 97.3 The Sky. It's Monday. We're going to make it great. Good morning. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Appreciate the support. Wow. A lot of things been going on over the weekend. A lot of top stories. Some stories started before the weekend and continue, like the one about the terrible school shooting in Georgia. Apparently, the mom warned the school just 30 minutes out. That's according to the alleged shooter's aunt. Reported that, and it is consistent, I think, with some of the texts and other things that law enforcement's looking at. And the whole idea is, how can we avoid this in the future?
Right.
And what can be done that would really, you know, have a positive impact on these things? We know we could talk it to death, but it comes down to mental illness, for whatever reason, not being properly addressed. Mm-hmm. We've got to find a way to make that work. All right, so you got that happening. You've got the debate tomorrow night.
Woo!
Trump.
Yeah.
Harris. The showdown.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yep. Also, in case you didn't hear, Bucks beat Washington 37-20. The Jags blew a lead and lost to Miami 20-17. So you've got that. Oh, and last night, in case you didn't stay up, it was an overtime win for the Lions 26-20 over the Rams. So, speaking of the debate and all that, Friday, the Pennsylvania governor was on The View. Yeah, I know. I missed it, too.
Oh, wow. How'd that happen?
Oh. Yeah. And basically, let's just boil it down.
Yeah.
He said when the conversation came up about Harris changing positions on stuff, and you know they soft-pedaled that whole thing.
Sure they did.
But basically, in the end, he said, well, you know, flipping on issues is actually, you know, a sign of strength. A sign of strength.
Hmm.
I guess some of it depends on the timing.
Yeah.
When you flip how you feel on such things and how long you've held the previous position. I don't remember her ever being pro-fracking. I remember her always being against it, wanting to stop it.
She was pushing electric vehicles a long time ago.
Yes. Green New Deal. She wasn't happy with even the amounts that were being promoted and pushed by the Democrats. She wanted more, more, more. So, yeah, it has to do with the timing and how long you held these previous kind of positions.
What I'm hearing you say is you can hold a position for years and years and years and years, but if you change it 2 months before the election, you're probably lying through your teeth.
No. Governor Shapiro said it's a sign of strength.
No, see, but what we think is probably that you're lying through your teeth.
Yes, more than likely.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't mean a person, politician, or otherwise can't change their positions on things. But when they happen abruptly, yes. right at the time when you're being anointed as the contender.
Good word, anointed.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Right when it happens right then, it's like, based on your own personal feelings, or have we looked at some focus groups and some polling information and data and tried to conform to gather the most amount of votes for now, and then once you get in office, mm-hmm. you can be your true far-left, anti-fracking Marxist lefty that you want to be.
Well, a good example is J.D. Vance. He got a little flack early on because he had made some comments in the past about Trump, and obviously now he's the VP candidate. But it was watching him operate as president over time and understanding, hey, this guy really is a good president. That's one way of changing your mind. But you're right. Doing it, 8, 10, 11 weeks before an election, probably a little more phony.
So on Meet the Press, Kristen Welker had Bernie Sanders on there, right?
Oh, okay.
You've described Vice President Kamala Harris as a progressive. She has previously supported Medicare for all. Now she does not. Previously supported a ban on fracking. Now she does not. These senators are ideas that you have campaigned on. Do you think she's abandoning her progressive ideals?
Mm.
And listen to this.
Oh, no.
He says, no, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals, but wait, I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election.
Wow, so she's not out loud.
He's going down the path of what you're talking about. Yeah. She's not abandoning her ideals. She's just temporarily lying through her face.
Yeah.
She's just lying. But don't worry, it's a temporary condition.
Oh.
Because, yes, once she gets into office, then she can be her true self. Uh-huh. Yes, all politicians dive toward the center when it comes to a general election. But when it's a radical flip-flop, do you really trust that person to hold which policies true? The ones that got her elected or the ones she's always believed previous to that?
Right.
And that's the thing. And when it comes to lefties, I think we've been, how many times have, folks been burned? Not hardcore left, moderate, very moderate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think she's an example of the moderation is gone. I mean, you saw that with Joe Biden. Joe Biden got elected because he was still considered a moderate, even though if you really examined his policies, they were not moderate. But they weren't examined that closely. He just looked a little more moderate than the rest of those wing nuts that were up there on stage.
Well, that's kind of what you got to do if you're the least dangerous looking.
Yeah.
I mean, you called it the next day after those debates.
He appears to be the most normal.
Yep. You called it then, so here we are. And now we don't even think about him. He's sitting at that tiny little desk off on a set somewhere. I don't know what he's doing.
That's the thing. We don't really know what.
No, we no clue. Don't hear from him.
All right. Tony Blair speaks out on this kind of a censorship issue. It is a pretty big issue. We'll get to that and a whole lot more coming up on 97.3 The Sky. We're making Mondays great. It's the Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy. 6:21 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. One of your top stories, big debate tomorrow night. Yes.
Finally.
The bar is low for Kamala. So all she has to do is, basically show up and she'll have certain advantages and some advice by John Cornyn given to Trump. Just let her talk. Just let her go. Let her talk.
Oh.
And she'll talk herself into circles and salads and all kinds of stuff, right? Update on the Georgia shooting. Some newer information, at least for some of us. A report from the Washington Post, confirmed by the AP, claims the alleged Appalachian High School attacker's mother warned the school of an extreme emergency, and it was about 30 minutes before shots rang out.
Wow.
The AP reported the 14-year-old attacker's aunt, Annie Brown, said the boy's mom spoke with a school counselor and urged them to immediately find her son to check him out. The Tennessee Star noted that the Post zeroed in on text messages that show that the school and family were in contact about the mental health of the 14-year-old. A week before the shooting, Brown had allegedly informed a relative that the alleged attacker was having homicidal and suicidal thoughts.
Okay.
On September 5th, the day after the attack, the 14-year-old father, Colin Gray, was arrested and charged with involuntary manslaughter, second-degree murder, among other things. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation explained that the charges stem from him knowingly allowing his son to possess a weapon. Also, especially since law enforcement has spoke to him about his son, what, about a year previous?
So you've got that. So then you give the child, we'll call him a child, he is a kid, a gun. But then a week before, he's having homicidal, suicidal thoughts. Maybe that's the time you take the kid's gun, you put it somewhere he can't get
it. You secure it.
Just a thought.
Yeah, until he gets through this whatever difficult period. I mean,
right. Because now he won't.
And it sounds like, you know, he's had his issues, quote unquote, for some time, and dysfunctional family on top of all of that.
Yeah, sad.
Yes.
All around.
It is sad on a lot of different levels. But apparently the mom tried to warn the school, not a lot of time there, but,
right.
You know, what can we do? And even the kid, it turns out, was kind of begging for help. So can we put a new protocol in there? Can we call it, you know, code red or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Could you do it like a fire drill? Or do you think these, you know, people concerned about their kids, this would happen all the time? Like, I don't know, he wasn't thinking straight this morning.
Right.
In other words, would it be overly used and abused, or would this save some lives to go, hey, man, this is a code red. It's like a fire drill. Boom, we pull the thing. All the kids exit immediately.
And wouldn't it be nice if the politicians, especially those in the left, instead of immediately jumping to, oh, we got to get rid of these military-style weapons off the street, we go to, hey, what can we do when a kid reaches out to help and it doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything? How about we fix that first?
And this is not the first time this kind of thing came up, and it's mental health. And, of course, you know, it doesn't help the left politically maybe to go down that path, although it should, because I don't care which party comes up with some answers and things that are going to maybe help the situation. It's so much easier politically, and it fulfills really an entirely different agenda for them to just, you know, try to disarm law-abiding American citizens, which they continue to try to do. Yeah.
That answers the question, why don't they come up with something? It's because then it would take that away.
The man suspected of injuring five people when he opened fire on Interstate 75. This was in the Kentucky area. As far as I know, none of my news sources have reported his capture.
Right.
So he is still on the loose, and they warned the community in the area to stay vigilant. This is it was the Laurel County Sheriff's Office has identified even the shooter, but they still haven't gotten him yet. Joseph A. Couch, 32, as a suspect to have fired into 12 cars on the north and southbound lanes of the interstate on Saturday. Authorities said Sunday night they believe Couch is still in the remote, densely wooded areas near where his AR-15 ammunition car and possibly his phone were found. Wow.
Now that's odd that he would leave his phone behind.
Yeah, it's,
if he's just on the run, unless he doesn't want to be tracked. If he's sharp in that respect, going, okay, if you know, they can ping my phone, so I don't want to do that. Or is he going to do something so that he doesn't need a phone anymore? There's always that option.
Well, that's, yes, of course. That's always one of the thoughts. Just hours before the shooting, he legally purchased a firearm and about 1,000 rounds of ammunition. The shooting occurred around 5:30 Saturday, about 9 miles north of the city of London, Kentucky. It appeared to be a random act of violence, just randomly shooting at cars going in either direction. Thankfully, there were no fatalities, but some of the injuries were very severe. One victim was shot in the face and another across the chest. Victims were critically hurt, but are in stable condition.
That's the good news.
And hopefully we'll get an update soon where they'll tell us they have him either in custody or he's not alive.
Yeah.
We're approaching 6:28. You're listening to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. You know, we do our best to try to make Mondays great. More local, state, and big stories coming your way on 97.3 The Sky. Dick and Liz turn their back on Republican and conservative principles, obviously.
Yeah.
Talking about the Cheneys. What about the Bushes? Stay out the Bushes.
Yeah.
I will, I'll give you some information related to that in moments. It is 6:37. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a Monday, but we're going to make it great. The big debate is tomorrow night. And in case you missed the end of the game last night, the Lions won in overtime 26-20 versus the Rams. Bucks beat Washington 37-20. Great job looking there. Baker Mayfield looking real good. In state, you had to have a losing Florida team in this one, and it happened to be the Jags. Miami beat the Jags 20-17. Jags had a pretty good lead, too. But that's the way it goes. Oh, and speaking of football, Tom Brady made his debut. And I was watching slash listening to that game. It was the Cowboys. And, you know, it wasn't the most exciting of games, but, you know, still okay. And it's certainly not his fault whether or not the game is super exciting. But here's the deal. I just the negative nannies that have to come out. I mean, it's his first time calling a game, and it's the NFL, and it's nationwide. And look, you know Tom Brady is going to be able to offer some really good insights.
Sure.
I mean, the guy played the game, played it well, and played it for a long time. So he's got, I'm sure, plenty to offer. Is he going to be super smooth? Look, I was paying attention to it. I thought he did a fine job. Was he perfect? Was he flawless? Did he sound like he had been doing this for 10 years? No.
Well, you wouldn't.
No, nobody would.
It's new.
What's wrong with people? And part of it is how much money is being paid. For whatever reason, that's a sticks in some people's craw.
Yeah.
And it is ridiculous money. Fox signed Brady to a 10-year deal worth $375 million more than 2 years ago. I mean, that was all set up. And the sports world has been waiting with bated breath to see how he'd perform in the booth. The game wound up being a dud as the Cowboys won 33-17 in a contest that was effectively over at halftime. All right. Again, he can't control that. Fox, in particular, places an emphasis on this for NFL analysis with color commentators, including John Madden and Troy Aikman. And then you've got studio talents like Terry Bradshaw, Jimmy Johnson, Howie Long, Rob Gronkowski, Michael Strahan. Fox, I think, does really a very good job with their coverage. And Brady did fine. He's articulate. He's not going to be super polished in that role.
Well, let's take somebody who's being critical and just drop them into something that, okay, you know about it in your head because you've done it, but we're gonna have you have to describe it and give color and follow along, and you're paying attention to, you know, cameras and microphones and people and the game, and just drop you into something you've not done before very much.
Right, and I think part of it is maybe some of it is coming from the corners of, well, I paid my dues, I worked my way up kind of thing.
Yeah, I get
Brady
that.
Throws a football, and all of a sudden, he's the greatest gift now in sports commentating.
But he's going to have an angle that you don't. I think you need both.
Yeah.
Those who know it can talk about it, and those who've done it.
Look, if he could put a sentence together, then you'd say, well, that was ridiculous.
We know jocks like that. They can't carry on a conversation hardly.
But they're not generally offered these huge long-term contracts. They already knew Brady could do it. And so, but it's, look, there's always, and I guess this transitions into, there is so much negativity in the world. Like, it seems so often now when people comment on anything.
Yeah.
it's like the naysayers come out. The negativity comes out. It's like, wow, are you that miserable? And do you, and really, it, the condition of your life is such that you really care who's announcing the game. And don't get me wrong, the announcers can make a difference.
Sure.
When you have you know, a couple of announcers on a game that's maybe not the highest profile to begin with, mm-hmm. and they just don't sound that, I don't know, they're just not, it's not hitting your ear just right.
There, yeah. Yep.
And so it can make a difference, but in the grand scheme of things, really?
Yeah.
To actually complain about it, wow. I mean, good for you. You obviously have no other problems in your life at mm-hmm. all, or issues or fears or anything else. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and Shep, good morning.
That says Howard Cosell speaking of sport. I want to tell you that I am the legend and no one can live up to my legacy. But they can give it a good try. Anyway, hi guys.
Hey, good to hear from. Oh, was he going to go on?
Did yeah, he actually had a comment that was not sports
Shep,
related.
You still there? Go ahead.
I'm still here. Did you hear what I said already or no?
Yeah, the Howard Cosell, yes.
Yeah, I thought I did a pretty good. Listen, I just wanted to get on about, you know, what's been going on with tomorrow night and all that. And I posted something on Facebook. I just want to let the 13 liberals who monitor this program know that we don't need politicians who want to institute a new world order. George W. Bush. H.W. Bush, sorry. We don't need politicians who say, don't worry about what the peasants think, Mr. Cheney. We don't need politicians who bend the knee when confronted with a dictator, Neville Chamberlain. Now, a lot of people want to say that Trump is not presidential. Good. We have had enough of presidents who are presidential. We need someone who goes right up to our enemies and says, this is how it's going to be. Okay? We are setting the tone, not you. This is what we need. And they have the political and the military will to back it up. That's all I'm going to say. You want presidential? Fine. But, you know, put someone in based on identity politics. You're going to get presidential. You want someone who's going to preserve the United States of America? And I know a lot of you don't. Because one man told me he hates the United States and wants to see it dissolved. But you want to save the United States, you vote for Donald Trump. Yes, he's a bull in a china shop.
Yeah, and that is exactly what the world calls for.
So do you want a bull in a china shop or a lot of
bull?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Caving into China.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, hey, Tim Walz, yeah, he'll replace Brandon as the Chinese favorite person in the in D.C.
He'd be a better fit to be, you know, like a cheerleading captain.
I could see him with his shaking his pom-poms.
Former President George W. Bush does not plan to reveal whom he will vote for in the upcoming election. Details on that and a whole lot more coming your way as we make Mondays great. Come on. Grab it by the horns. It is 6:45 News Talk 97.3 The Sky. It's Monday. We're going to make it great. Good morning. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Appreciate the support. Wow. A lot of things been going on over the weekend, a lot of top stories. Some stories started before the weekend and continue, like the one about the terrible school shooting in Georgia. Apparently, the mom warned the school just 30 minutes out. That's according to the alleged shooter's aunt reported that. And it is consistent, I think, with some of the texts and other things that law enforcement's looking at. And the whole idea is, how can we avoid this in the future?
Right.
And what can be done that would really, you know, have a positive impact on these things? We know we could talk it to death, but it comes down to mental illness, for whatever reason, not being properly addressed. Mm-hmm. We've got to find a way to make that work. All right. So you got that happening. You've got the debate tomorrow night.
Woo.
Trump,
yeah,
Harris, the showdown.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yep. Also, in case you didn't hear, Bucks beat Washington 37-20. The Jags blew a lead and lost to Miami 20-17. So you've got that. Oh, and last night, in case you didn't stay up, it was an overtime win for the Lions 26-20 over the Rams. So speaking of the debate and all that, Friday, the Pennsylvania governor was on The View. Yeah, I know. I missed it, too.
Oh, wow. How'd that happen?
Oh. Yeah. And basically, let's just boil it down.
Yeah.
He said when the conversation came up about Harris changing positions on stuff, and you know they soft-pedaled that whole thing.
Sure they did.
But basically, in the end, he said, well, you know, flipping on issues is actually, you know, a sign of strength. A sign of strength. I guess some of it depends on the timing.
Yeah.
When you flip how you feel on such things and how long you've held the previous position. I don't remember her ever being pro-fracking. I remember her always being against it, wanting to stop it.
She was pushing electric vehicles a long time ago.
Yes. Green New Deal. She wasn't happy with even the amounts that were being promoted and pushed by the Democrats. She wanted more, more, more. So, yeah, it has to do with the timing and how long you held these previous kind of positions.
What I'm hearing you say is you can hold a position for years and years and years and years, but if you change it 2 months before an election, you're probably lying through your teeth.
No, no.
No?
Governor Shapiro said it's a sign of strength.
No, see, but what we think is probably that you're lying through your teeth.
Yes, more than likely.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't mean a person, politician, or otherwise can't change their positions on things, but when they happen abruptly,
yes.
Right at the time when you're being anointed as the contender.
Good word, anointed.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right when it happens right then, it's like, based on your own personal feelings, or have we looked at some focus groups and some polling information and data and try to conform to gather the most amount of votes for now, and then once you get in office, you can be your true far-left fracking Marxist lefty that you want to be.
Well, a good example is J.D. Vance. He got a little flack early on because he had made some comments in the past about Trump, and obviously now he's the VP, but, you know, candidate. But it was watching him operate as president over time and understanding, hey, this guy really is a good president. That's one way of changing your mind. But you're right. Doing it, you know, 8, 10, 11 weeks before an election, probably a little more phony.
So on Meet the Press, Kristen Welker had Bernie Sanders on there, right?
Oh, okay.
You've described Vice President Kamala Harris as a progressive. She has previously supported Medicare for all. Now she does not. Previously supported a ban on fracking. Now she does not. These senators are ideas that you have campaigned on. Do you think she's abandoning her progressive ideals? And listen to this.
Oh, no.
He says, no. I don't think she's abandoning her ideals, but wait, I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election.
Wow,
so
he
she's
said
not,
that out loud.
He's going down the path of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
She's not abandoning her ideals. She's just temporarily lying through her face.
Yeah.
She's just lying. But don't worry, it's a temporary condition.
Oh.
Because, yes, once she gets into office, then she can be her true self. Uh-huh. You know, yes, all politicians dive toward the center when it comes to a general election. But when it's a radical flip-flop, do you really trust that person to hold which policies true? The ones that got her elected or the ones she's always believed previous to that?
Right.
And that's the thing. And when it comes to lefties, I think we've been, how many times have, you know, folks been burned? Oh, no, this, not left, not hardcore left. No, moderate, very moderate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I think she's an example of the moderation is gone. I mean, you saw that with Joe Biden. Joe Biden got elected because he was still considered a moderate, even though if you really examined his policies, they were not moderate. But they weren't examined that closely. He just looked a little more moderate than the rest of those wing nuts that were up there on stage.
Well, that's kind of what you got to do if you're the least dangerous looking.
Yeah.
I mean, you called it the next day after those debates.
He appears to be the most normal.
Yep. You called it then. So here we are. And now we don't even think about him. He's sitting at that tiny little desk off on a set somewhere. I don't know what he's doing.
That's the thing. We don't really know what.
No, no clue. Don't hear from him.
All right. Tony Blair speaks out on this kind of a censorship issue. It is a pretty big issue. We'll get to that and a whole lot more coming up on 97.3 The Sky.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.